And we are talking about Lyric Opera, who are very adventurous and do some incredible stuff. And we'll get to them a little bit later. But we've got Rebecca and Damien from the latest production. So welcome.
Thank you very much.
So we always like to start off with who you are. And we'll start off with ladies first. So Rebecca, give us, you know, like, are you a trained opera singer?
Yes. Yes,
of course you are.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I started last week. You should have actually told me. You know, so give us your journey. When did you realise that you know, like, this is what you wanted to do?
Well, ever since I was very young, I was always really interested in old Hollywood films. I lived with both my parents, but my grandmother looked after me a lot as my parents work, and she brought me up a lot on like all these like Judy Garland musicals. So I was always really, really into all these musicals. And as I started getting older, I always wanted to sort of sing. I'm often, like, to my dad's horror, I said that when I was a very young girl, I wanted to be a nun just like Maria from The Sound of Music. And my dad, being a bit of an atheist, was like, oh my gosh, no. Because I thought that I could be a singer for the rest of my life because she just sung all the time. As I got older, it was more, I got introduced to the film Amadeus in high school, and I just absolutely fell in love with opera after watching that film.
Right.
And so from that point.
But what a crazy fun film it was. And what a crazy man, too.
Yeah. So it very much just fell in love with Mozart, and just I went to my singing teacher going, I want to sing opera, can I sing Madame Butterfly? And I was only like 14 years old. She was like, oh, you're a bit young. And I'm like, yes, but she's only 15, the character. And she's like,
true.
Yeah, so it wasn't until I was probably more like 19 or 20 when my teacher actually then went, okay, let's start looking at some opera repertoire now.
Right, because it's a hard journey, you know, like studying opera, isn't it?
Yeah, it's taxing. Like a lot of people go, oh, you must love it, and you're like, you have to love it because it's a very, like, yeah, it's a difficult industry.
So Damien, give us your, had you finished your story? No, you haven't.
Oh, no, yeah, that was pretty much, yeah. I just got more introduced to it through, like, after seeing the film Amadeus, and then from there just, I guess, went to the VCA, studied classical singing, and then just moved from there.
But and so do you, you know, like, you've travelled overseas to with your singing, or have you stayed here in Australia?
Stayed here mostly. I mean, I've travelled a bit and done a couple of coachings when I've been overseas, but I haven't really done the whole diving overseas. I'm like, Damien has. He'll give you the whole, like, rundown of the overseas market.
So is it, you know, like, can you make it a full-time career? Is it for you?
I think you can. It does take a lot of work, and sometimes I have done it, and it's like, I'm not going to lie, that the whole starving, struggling artist thing can exist. I do juggle it between a day job that I actually just work up around the road in Maya and David Jones.
Okay, right. So, Damien, you know, like, are you a full-time singer?
I suppose yes. Yes.
Suppose yes.
Obviously. Well, I mean,
he's still thinking about what we were talking about off air.
Yeah, we won't go into that.
Get him backstage.
Although it does have something to do with the opera.
Yes. Well, it was. That's where it all started.
I'm a full-time singer. Obviously, as Rebecca says, it's a tough business, and so sometimes you get three offers for the same period, and no one wants you for 3 months beforehand.
Isn't that
so
annoying?
That's what I mean by suppose, as in full time.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a full time job, but that doesn't mean you're always doing a gig.
Yeah. And you studied overseas and worked overseas.
I was born on a farm in country New South Wales.
Wow.
And eventually music, you know, as a kid, doing things like the Stedford and all that kind of stuff, but knew nothing about opera until.
And listen to your voice. You're obviously a what?
I'm a bass, yeah. Like the tenors go over after the top C's and the basses go over the bottom C's.
And you can tell straight away with your voice, the way you speak.
Generally,
well.
My voice didn't break till I was quite sort of old. It was like 15 and a half and still speaking away like that.
Right, okay.
Went home for the school holidays and came back 2 weeks later speaking like this. People thought I fell off a horse from the farm.
What did your parents say when all of a sudden you went off to study opera?
Yeah, they were very supportive, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, my mother had studied music as a kid, and my father, you know, he was destined to be on the farm, but that wasn't necessarily exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a lawyer. So he's like, when I wanted to do something, he said, well, you do what you want to do.
Right. Poor dad's still on the farm, is he?
No, he very cleverly sold that before
it
got really hard in the farming business, and now they're living in town.
So, you know, like, traveled the world performing and...
I just wanted to go overseas because I studied languages at uni and, you know...
Oh, underachiever he is.
We don't speak a lot of lingo here in Australia, so I was like, okay. So I went to England, naturally, to study. Slightly, you know, took a wrong turn at Albuquerque, but ended up working in France, Switzerland, Germany, and now I live in Spain.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Right. Have you come back for this?
I have, yes. But Rebecca and I have worked before last year. I came back to Melbourne. Here in Melbourne. We did a tour of China, which we rehearsed here in Melbourne.
Oh, okay. And what company was that for?
That was Australian International Opera Company.
Right. Okay.
By Chris Howlett.
Now tell us a little bit about the Lyric Opera.
Lyric Opera. Well, Lyric Opera seems to be the sort of groovy company in Melbourne that does all these hipster company doing interesting operas that haven't been done for a while
And the way they stage it as well.
Yeah, well, it's at Chapel on Chapel, which is such an amazing space. And we've managed to get a really fantastic director, Tyron Park, who's a great actor and singer in his own right. But I think it's his first opera.
Right.
And he's doing that on the back of his big success with Big Fish at the Hayes Theatre in Sydney, which is sort of the equivalent of Chapel on Chapel here, I think.
Yeah, it is.
It's as a non-Melbourneite, sorry.
Well, it is a small theatre in Sydney. Yeah. So Rebecca, tell us what what's it called, the one that you...
The Coronation of Poppea. I don't know if I could try and say it in Italian. That sounds bad as an opera singer, doesn't it? Do you want to say?
L'Incoronazione di Poppea.
Brilliant.
By Monteverdi. And basically, what is it about? It's, if you're very familiar with like Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn, it's sort of like the Roman version of it. I play as Poppea, and basically she manipulates the Emperor Nero with her sexual prowess and to basically get what she wants, which is to become Empress of Rome. And it ends up him having to even like banish his wife and kill some of his friends. And
sounds and like a typical opera.
Much. And so that's pretty much the basic story of the opera.
And what period is it set in? Because Lyric Opera I can remember there was one, I think, last year, and it was sort of like swinging Italy of the 50s and 60s with Vespas.
Yes, which I was, I think, in that one myself.
Right.
Yeah,
what was that?
That was the Il Signor Bruschino.
That's right, yeah.
Yes. We haven't actually really got an era set in this. I mean, traditionally it's set, I guess, in ancient Rome. I think, what was it, 60 BC, roughly the era that I think, or whatever.
Yesterday. Rome, yeah, like the other week.
Yeah.
I think it's been updated, but without sort of making it too specific.
Okay.
Because the story is endless. It's politics, sexual politics, power play, people getting knocked off or getting rid of because they get in the way of someone's thirst for power. So,
yeah.
But at the same time, there's sort of references to the 60s, but references also in the set to ancient Rome. It's quite clever production.
Brilliant. You're on Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine, and we're talking about Lyric Opera's latest production. Tell us a little bit about the music.
Well, the composer is Monteverdi,
yep,
who lived in the 17th century. But by the time he wrote Coronation of Poppea, which he wrote for Venice, it was 1643, and he was quite an old man, so it's not exactly popera. You haven't got sort of Puccini tunes and Nessun Dorma kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but it's opera that's really based on the text, which is why we decided to do it in Italian rather than English.
Right.
But we do have surtitles so people can understand every word that's been said or sung. Although that is actually the point about Monteverdi. It's sort of said sung. It's sort of a little bit like a Baroque rap kind of thing, the way he sets the music. It's not sort of long lines. It's lots of text on pitches with very specific rhythms, which makes it sound like Italian being spoken.
Yeah, wow. And would that be hard because you're not Rebecca. Come on, Rebecca, explain. Yeah,
it's just trying to sing music that's like over 400 years old is not the most easiest thing, especially because just before that I was doing Liu from Puccini's Turandot. So that's like an opera written like not even 100 years ago. So it's music has definitely evolved a lot since then. Yeah. Like it's all
But the way Damien was saying that, like it was almost semi a rap in a way, because it's sort of there's so much text.
Yeah, it is so much text and trying to get the speeds right. And also just, you can just see how music or opera is just in its very like kind of early forms and just trying to find new things. And sometimes just the way the music works is really atonal. But, and you're like, whoa, it's really hard to predict it. Unlike Mozart, who's so like, you can almost pick up Mozart really quickly and just learn, because he's got a certain way that he works by. But it was just very, very foreign. And even when talking to some of the other cast members, like Nick Jones, who plays as like the Emperor Nero, he was even calling me going, "How are you going with this?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm pulling my hair out. It's really hard." So,
But do you kind of like that challenge as well? You know, having a career in opera, something that really does completely challenge you from the base level.
When you get it, you're just like, "Oh, hell yeah." And you just feel like you're absolute king of the world when you finally got it. And then you end up falling in love with it. I always find the bits that I was hating the most or struggling the most ends up becoming my favourite parts of the opera,
Damon, sorry.
Well, I was going to ask Damon actually as well. You know, was that part of the attraction, I guess, coming over and trying something maybe a little bit out of your wheelhouse?
Absolutely. It was also, I've done this opera before, but I did a lot of shorter little roles in it. And this time I get to do the big bad, or not that bad, he's the guy that gets killed. So I get to die on stage, but it's like a really, it's a chunky role. So that's, and I also wanted to, I was invited by the conductor who's running this, Pat Miller, to come and do this. And we worked with him in China, and he's a really great conductor and nice guy to work with. So it was, yes, I jumped on the chance.
And so what was your process like? What Rebecca said in terms of kind of having to relearn to sing in a way in that specific style. So what was your process, I guess, behind that?
I didn't look at the music for a long time. I just looked at the text and spoke it over and over again. And then you're sort of trying to feel this rhythm, this rap thing, and then start to put it with the notes, but don't lose the rhythm of the words. And then hope that it comes together at some point.
I'm sure it has. I'm sure it has. So when does it start?
We open next Saturday night, the 15th.
Which is, and it only runs until the 30th.
The 22nd. We have five performances. So like one on, one off until, but we work both Friday and Saturday night.
Wow.
Operas are slightly different to so-called straight theatre and musical theatre, that because we're not using microphones, it's a bit more challenging.
Yep.
So we don't perform every night. It'd be like playing a rugby match every day. Yeah. You'd mess up your body a bit.
But the good thing is that it's not a huge theatre, but so much. So, you know, it's easy for you to...
Yeah, and it's a small ensemble of musicians.
And Damien, your voice, I'm sure you just open your mouth and you'll hear down the other end of Bourke Street.
Place.
So, of course, you would do your bookings at Chapel Off Chapel.
Absolutely.
Or just, you know, like Google Lyric Opera and they will send you. But it would be Chapel Off Chapel that you do the booking. Thank you so much for coming
in.
And it sounds like it would have been a very challenging role to learn, but good on you.
Thank you very much.
You're on Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine. Thanks for tuning in.